It's a growing movement within the criminal justice system being smart rather than tough on crime. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. Just ahead, State Attorney Angela Corey joins the program with more on the concept of smart justice, and she takes your calls. You can get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, more about the mission of We Care Jacksonville and how you can help this holiday season. Plus, a look at all this weekend's events with The Spectator, including a live report from Holiday Magic up on Jekyll Island. All of that ahead this hour. But first this morning, it's a growing movement within the criminal justice system, Smart Justice. Now, among other things, Smart Justice initiatives work to reduce the number of juveniles entering the criminal justice system, but that's just one component of this concept. State Attorney Angela Corey gave a presentation on the topic Monday at a Smart Justice conference over in Sarasota. Lots came out of that event. State Attorney Corey joins us now in studio with more about that, and she takes your calls. Great to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Melissa.
And what are your questions and comments for State Attorney Angela Corey, whether it comes to Smart Justice, the Fourth Circuit here in North Florida, her reelection campaign? What's on your mind? Get on the line, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show. And so on Monday, criminal justice advocates, lawmakers, attorneys, law enforcement folks, a whole host of people from all over the state in Sarasota for this summit on smart justice. For those who aren't familiar with that phrase, that term, what is smart justice?
Well, Melissa, I think that phrase started recently as far as making sure that the cost of the criminal justice system is being wisely allocated. And so Barney Bishop's been a leader in that with the Smart Justice Alliance. Our state attorneys, the 20 elected state attorneys, have been discussing this concept for years. We just didn't call it that. And quite frankly, Ed Austin pioneered this concept four decades ago. So it was so innate to us. We've been doing it for so long that it did not occur to us that the public wasn't aware of our great efforts and our smart justice initiatives.
You gave a presentation on what the Fourth Circuit, that's your circuit, has been doing in the realm of smart justice. Let's talk about some of the specifics.
Well, basically, we let them know that we run 15 of our own diversion programs. Now, that's to intervene pre-arrest and sometimes post-arrest to make sure a person gets the sanctions needed without ever having to hire a lawyer or go to court. And that's why it's smart justice, because we're not clogging up the court system. We're giving people a first bite at the apple. And it runs the gamut from adults who own businesses who don't pay their sales taxes to juveniles arrested for a first-time petty theft. We do it all. 15 programs. I spend $1.2 million last year in salary and costs for running these programs, and it's worth every penny. That comes out of my budget, and it's a decision I make to do that. But it honors Ed Austin. We've expanded the number of programs. Alan Lauder heads up our juvenile programs. It's a fabulous concept.
And when you say it's worth every penny, do you mean in the long run you see that as reducing recidivism?
Well, reducing recidivism, giving people a chance, trying to do it pre-arrest where then they don't have to come in and seal their records, go through FDLE, tie up state resources, sealing a record where we can solve the problem without an arrest, for one thing. And then we have somebody on staff who helps people get their records sealed when they successfully complete these programs. See, if they're successfully diverted, Melissa, the charge is dropped. And it does not go on their record, and it's a win-win for us and for the defendants. So it's a great concept, and we've been doing it. I've done it my entire 34 years. That's why when the hoopla started about juveniles and civil citations, I thought, gosh, we've been doing YMP, YOP. We've had so many youth programs where we divert these kids. It never occurred to me that people didn't know about it.
We'll go to your calls for State Attorney Angela Corey in just a few moments. In particular, the local interfaith coalition, ICARE, has been very vocal about asking you and your circuit to increase the use of civil citations, do more civil citations. There's been, I suppose, a diverging of paths on how many juveniles should be diverted in this circuit. Is that fair to say?
You know, Melissa, it's not the number. It's the quality, and it's done on an individual basis by law enforcement. Law enforcement officers issue civil citations. Angela Corey doesn't issue them. We work with law enforcement to develop policies for issuing those. And we've gone behind the numbers that get quoted constantly, and we know that our officers are doing a good job. We're also training them. We're doing training for JSO, for the school board, for the beaches, to let them know the times they can issue these citations.
And as you campaign for re-election and you talk about these concepts, what would you say to critics of your tenure in office who feel that you have been too punitive, too overzealous, perhaps, as a prosecutor?
I would say they should look at the facts. And the fact is, the facts they cannot dispute, the critics cannot dispute, juvenile cases are down by half. When I took office, we were opening over 6,000 juvenile cases. Last year, we opened 3,000. I've been able to eliminate one juvenile prosecutor because we're prosecuting less juvenile. We're eighth in the state in juvenile direct files. These people need to get their facts straight. It's unfair for them to be out touting statistics that aren't true when they don't know how our office works. They've never spent a day in juvenile court. And what we'd love for them to do is find out the truth. Come see our programs in action. We invited the Times Union in over the last 3 years to observe our juvenile diversion programs. And we'd love to see the story they're going to do on it, because I think it would help educate the public.
We still don't know yet if public defender Matt Shirk will seek a third term, although he will be joining this program in January. We anticipate he'll be making an announcement about his campaign at that time. Earlier in 2015, he published a letter in the Florida Times Union about smart justice, and I'm going to quote from it. He wrote, "It is widely believed that Florida prosecutors have too much unchecked power. Judicial oversight is needed. Direct file is still available to appropriately punish." Basically, he goes on to say that state attorneys have too much latitude to direct file in terms of prosecuting, that there needs to be more oversight. What's your response to Matt Shirk's position on that aspect of this smart justice movement?
It's yet another misstatement by him that doesn't accurately reflect what we do in the criminal justice system. We direct file according to Florida statutes. If someone's not eligible for direct file, we take them to a grand jury. And what are you going to say about our citizens saying, yes, this juvenile should be in adult court? So we take kids into adult court. The misconceptions are that we make them an adult, we put them in adult population. Completely wrong. Can't happen by Florida law. The other misconception is that they only can get adult sanctions. Another misconception, they can become a youthful offender or get juvenile sanctions or a blended sentence of juvenile and adult. So it's all going very well. I think people are using isolated anecdotes, specific cases, to try to make sweeping changes to the law, and it's completely unfounded.
Lots of calls, meanwhile, for State Attorney Angela Corey. We are talking about smart justice this morning on the show. A big conference was held on this in Sarasota Monday with advocates from the law enforcement and legal community coming in from all over the state. What are your questions? What are your comments? 549-2937 to join us. Damon is in St. Augustine. Hi, Damon. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had a question. Smart justice sounds like a great term, but I'd like to know how far it really expands. One of the issues that I've been having a lot lately with America's criminal justice system and America in general is that we often deal with the symptoms and not the root cause of the problem. We put so much money into diabetes drugs without analyzing how much sugar is in America's food supply. Same thing with criminal justice. From reports of criminal psychologists, the vast majority of people that are on death row have been victims of child abuse and other forms of abuse and trauma in their past histories, which can tend to obviously move towards a life of crime and mental instability as well. So I was just wondering if there was anything in your plan for Smart Justice for dealing with the root causes of these problems, analyzing what those are, and creating intelligent strategies for dealing with them.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you asked that. Within our own programs, we deal if the parents are part of the problem. We're having the parents come in for diversion, counseling. We're trying to analyze and see if drugs are the root. For example, if you have a young person breaking into a lot of cars, the problem could be they're doing that to buy drugs. So then we're recommending drug counseling, random urine testing to get to the root of the problem. We refer cases to our courts who are also participating in these programs. Veterans Court, for example, deals with issues that are specific to veterans, and there are a lot of volunteers and mentors who are helping them mend themselves while we also rectify and sometimes reconcile. Reconciliation is part of what we do in diversion, and it is a wonderful thing. So yes, we're trying to address the root causes, but what we'd prefer is that the people who are experts in that deal with it before people ever even come to the criminal justice system. We really do. So thank you for pointing that out.
549-2937. Let's go to John in downtown Jacksonville now. Hi, John. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for taking my call. You know, with the subject of smart justice and juvenile intervention, I was wondering, Ms. Corey, your position on, you know, using, you know, our natural assets, for example, with the river. You know, I had a chance to talk to Sheriff Williams recently after a council meeting. Happened to run into Governor Scott last week. And, you know, I plan today on doing a cleanup, you know, downtown to keep Jacksonville beautiful, one of those blue bag cleanups. And would you direct me or direct this community in how, you know, that type of simple intervention, instead of cleaning up the roads and things, how we can incorporate it, you know, in our downtown area.
Wow.
And I think it could be a very, very positive benefit. I've had tremendous feedback. I'm waiting to hear back from Sheriff Williams. But this is the first time that I've been able just to share that with you. And wonder what your thoughts are.
My thoughts are that's a great idea, John. Sheriff Williams attended the Smart Justice Conference. We're on the same page when it comes to working with the community on prevention and intervention, and then we'll handle the enforcement on those who are just true criminals. But community service hours is part of almost every diversion program we have for kids and adults. So we'll put you in touch. If you'll call the office or send an email through our website, I'll make sure we put you in touch with the people who run these diversion programs, because that is a great concept. I think kids learning about the history of downtown Jacksonville, having to hear from old people like me who used to come down here when we were kids at Christmas time, and wanting to make it the same beautiful place. I think it's all a great idea. Thank you for that.
It's 549-2937. We are speaking with State Attorney Angela Corey this morning about Smart Justice. A big conference was held on this topic in Sarasota earlier in the week. What are your questions? 549-2937. Anna Marie is on the south side. Anna Marie, good morning.
Good morning. My question is this. There's many different kinds of smart justice, and I'm concerned that we've got way too many nonviolent drug offenders in prison, and when they could be diverted to drug treatment programs. And it seems to me that the Attorney General has to make sure that we have enough treatment beds and treatment facilities for this kind of alternative approach to justice to work.
That's a great concern, and that has been researched and addressed. Less than 3% of drug users are in state prison because they get referred to drug court, put on probation. Our local program that I give Sheriff Rutherford and Sheriff Williams credit for, Matrix House, Phoenix House is another program. They're doing great things for drug offenders without sending them to state prison. So your concerns are valid, and they are being addressed.
Mental health reform came up at this summit, too,
mm-hmm.
didn't it?
It did.
I mean, as we've talked about on this show with the former sheriff, the current sheriff has brought this up. the Duval County Jail is the largest mental health facility in town. How much did that figure into the summit?
Melissa, I know that they had a lot on the agenda. We spoke of our that we're vested in the mental health court that we now have. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
But I've tasked Andy Cantor with working statewide with the judges from Miami who started that program. And so we're now using mental health court as one of our smart justice initiatives, too.
Oh, when we lost the last call, it was Shelley in Riverside. Let's go to a couple of tweets for State Attorney Angela Corey. Crystalis, I understand things are going well or better, but what do you think still needs to be improved?
I think making the family nucleus the source of responsibility and accountability, making sure, like when I was a kid, we weren't worried about the police. We were worried about disappointing Tom and Lorraine Corey because we knew their code of discipline, their code of honor. And so I think teaching kids at an early age, very early intervention, teaching kids responsibility and a little bit about maybe not the criminal justice system, but you know, you don't bite, scratch, kick, you don't touch other people, you don't steal. I think all those concepts have to be constantly not pounded into children, Melissa. What's the right word from a mother's perspective? Uh-huh. Just a reminder, a constant vigilance over your children. Know where they are. You're responsible for your kids until they're 18. You have the right to know where they are basically every minute of every day. You have the right to know what they have in their backpacks, whose cars they're riding in. Parents, know your children. You could keep them out of our system altogether by knowing them better.
Here's another tweet from Jay. State Attorney Corey's office should release details on all of the charges so we can compare and settle it. Numbers do matter in terms of diversion. I assume that's what he's talking about.
Well, sure. I mean, our numbers are a matter of public record, and I can tell you, I can give him the specific numbers. When juvenile cases were opened in 2009, there were 6,184. Pretty specific. In 2014, it was 3,161. And of that number, 3,161, more than 900 were diverted into our or court or community programs.
And we'll go to your calls for State Attorney Angela Corey in just a moment at 549-2937. A few more coming in. Almost a year till you face a challenger in your reelection campaign. You far outraised challenger Wes White in terms of fundraising. The campaign is definitely underway. Why have you decided to seek a third term?
Well, because we're so deeply into some changes and some positive energy movements within the office and within the criminal justice system that I feel like I have a lot more that I can lead this office into. We're doing great in trial work. We have met the challenge of the Jacksonville Journey that said the former administration was ranked too low in the state in the major categories. We've now brought this office up into the top five. I want to keep that going for another term. So I think we're going to be successful. We're having great success with the campaign, great endorsements from key people, and we believe it's going to be a successful campaign.
Cindy in Riverside, go ahead, Cindy.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a comment about the juvenile diversion program. I heard what Angela Corey had to say, and I have experience with that, having had a son who was arrested and who participated in that program. And I would say that what is being said is not exactly what I experienced on the ground with my son. And I'm glad that there is a program, but I think it falls short in terms of a meaningful engagement with the youth for behavior changes.
Thank you for letting me know about that. I'd love to discuss that with you more. I know that Alan Lauder has personally taken an interest in several kids who were not successful in the programs, where there wasn't either enough of the sanctions or the parents, it was just too time-consuming, whatever it was. If you could contact me, it'll stay confidential. I'd love to talk with you about that. We want to make it a good experience for everyone who enters it. But I hope you appreciate the fact that your son didn't have to go to court, and hopefully you didn't have to hire a lawyer. So God bless you, and I hope things work out for you.
Thanks.
Eleanor in Riverside. Go ahead, Eleanor. Hi, Eleanor. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question. I've recently been reading a really wonderful book by Michelle Alexander called The New Jim Crow, and it talks a lot about our justice system, and I was wanting to get your opinion on how you feel about the war on drugs and how it directly affects the African American and poor white community.
Well, I have not read the book to which you're referring, but I can tell you that from our perspective, from the way law enforcement handles cases, they go where the most complaints are. And unfortunately, the most complaints about drug selling come from the communities you just mentioned. So that's part of law enforcement is we arrest the people that we have probable cause to arrest. Law enforcement attacks the drug problem in the neighborhoods where the drugs are being sold. And so I think, again, it's one of those things where we've got to change the root cause of the drug dealing and the drug usage in those communities. So I do believe that that type of information is valuable to help with the sociological aspects of all of this.
Did the Smart Justice event talk about reforming sentencing laws for nonviolent drug offenders?
That was part of it. But what we think people are under the mistaken belief is that a lot of drug users go to prison. And quite frankly, it's just not true. We've reviewed those statistics. And again, there are so many local programs that it's very rare. If they go to state prison, it's because it's for because they're repeat offenders and we can't get them under control. Or a lot of what I see are constant home burglaries, like 10 home burglaries where they're stealing guns for their drug habit, and they've already had three or four chances to get drug rehabilitation. Then we are sending them to prison, but it's for a home burglary, which is a very serious crime.
And so as you wrap up this conversation, if people that might have just tuned in, smart justice is something that really has taken hold throughout the criminal justice world. How do you see this expanding, I guess, in North Florida in 2016?
Well, I think that what we're going to do is we've expanded so much over the last four decades that I'm just going to focus on making sure we're doing a quality job in all of these diversion programs. I want this community to know that as tough as we are, and we're sending bad guys away for long periods of time, we're also working at the other end of the spectrum to make sure first-time offenders and people with mental health and drug issues are getting what they need. So we're doing it all, and I know our statistics bear out that we're doing it very well. So thank you for allowing us to talk about smart justice, and I'll be meeting with Sheriff Williams again to follow up on the conference we attended.
Well, thank you for being with us. State Attorney Angela Corey joining the program this morning. And much more still to come later, The Spectator with some ideas for your weekend. But up next, it's the mission of We Care Jacksonville, helping those who need it the most this holiday and how you can be part of it. Back in a moment.
Legal and political segments on First Coast Connect, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah.
It's the time of year we reflect on the good things in our lives, the moments of joy, the memories that make us thankful. WJCT is a source of many of these good things, an indispensable resource that brings happiness and joy to the First Coast all year long. Please take this time to support WJCT today, so we can continue to keep you connected to the things that bring you happiness.
Wolfgang Puck is a big name in food. He's got restaurants and cookbooks, TV shows, the whole smash. But how'd he do it?
So we were really the first chefs who controlled the destiny of the restaurant. We cooked whatever we felt like, not what somebody told you, you know.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll sit down for a bite with Wolfgang Puck next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m.
Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Thank you.
WJCT is proud to present a community theater radio production of It's a Wonderful Life, featuring an all Northeast Florida cast. The hour-long radio production will air 24 times starting at 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve on 89.9 FM and online at WJCT.org. Sponsored in part by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
Welcome back. Well, their mission is to help low-income and uninsured residents of Duval County access medical specialty health care. And in spite of the passage of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, there's still a need for the private sector to do this kind of work. Sue Nussbaum, MD, is the executive director of We Care Jacksonville, and she joins us now with more about this important mission and how you can be part of it this holiday season. Dr. Nussbaum, good morning.
Good morning.
So there are so many low-income or uninsured residents here in our area that need specialty health care, and you stand in the gap.
That's true. It looks like there's still about 13% of our Duval County population that is uninsured. And these are folks who really, when they get sick, the emergency room can't completely treat the condition, and we end up following up on that. We have 10 free clinics in Duval County who see patients for primary care, some specialty care. But when they are sicker and they need more help, diagnostic tests, surgery, cancer care, a referral is sent to We Care Jacksonville, and we reach out to over 600 volunteer physicians in our community. It's an incredible number.
Wow.
And all of our hospitals participate in caring for these individuals. And we're kind of the central coordinating system where we help people get to the right place for their care.
So more than 600 doctors participate and provide the care at no cost.
Correct.
You refer everybody out. And people might not even realize that this service is available. So it's so important to get the word out about this because there are a lot of people that need health care still that might not have it.
That's right. I thought I would share a story about a patient who it's hard for us to imagine, a 31-year-old who found a breast lump and very concerned, and it looked like it was a diagnosis of breast cancer. And she was out there struggling to get care. She entered into our system, and fortunately, we were able to get her surgery, chemotherapy, radiation oncology at no cost. And she's 32 now, and she's working, going back to school. You know, we really fill just a critical gap for people who are out there, even with these serious illnesses. It's hard to imagine, you know, a 31-year-old with a breast lump being stuck like that.
Sure. But they are out there. And even though the deadline just passed the other day for people to enroll for coverage under the Affordable Care Act, that doesn't mean that the critical need still doesn't exist.
That's right. I think there's a lot of misperceptions of what the Affordable Care Act is and who it's available to. People are eligible who are over 100% of the poverty level. Up to 400% is really who it's targeted towards. And these individuals have a period of time where they can enroll. And what we've learned is that the copays, the deductible levels, which are very high, sometimes when somebody signs up for the Affordable Care Act, they really can't afford it once they sign up, and they actually the second year come off of it. I think in its inherent design, for somebody who's under 200% of poverty, it's an expensive alternative. So people even who have that insurance sometimes can't get care because they can't pay that $5,000 deductible.
Not only that, Florida declined to take the Medicaid expansion.
Correct.
Expand the number, the pool of people eligible for Medicaid. That has also meant that there's a group of people in the state that aren't eligible for health insurance, correct?
Right. Most of the people that we see fall into that 100% of poverty and below. And that's kind of the magic number of the people in the gap. And that's, it's a huge number of people who really don't have access. And they're not eligible for Medicaid as it sits today, because Medicaid today is only for people that are pregnant, have children, or a disability. I think that's a big misunderstanding, that if you're poor, that Medicaid is there for you, and it's not. It's really under certain circumstances. So if you're 34 with no children and have a kidney tumor, you're just not eligible. With the expansion, which we had hoped for, that would have been taken care of because it would have been income-based only.
So when you talk about 100% of poverty level, how much income are we talking about? What's your patient population?
Right. And we serve up to 200% of the poverty level, which is about $1,900 per month for a single person, up to $4,000 for a family of four. So that's a monthly fee. So, you know, 100% is about $11,000 a year for a single person. So when you look at, you know, the Affordable Care Act from 100 to 200, it starts at $11,000 for a single person. Not very much money to
sign up and
pay a deductible.
And so WeCare works all year round, but at the holidays especially, this is the season of giving. People could certainly try to give to WeCare, right?
Absolutely. We are really in our annual campaign right now. Our number is 674-6450. And we actually this morning have some people standing by if people want to call and make a pledge or a donation, as well as our website, WeCareJacksonville.org, has a donation page. We need the funds to support the structure to be able to coordinate all of this care and to buy medications and things that help people stay healthier. And so we really appreciate that. Additionally, we can use more doctors. We can use more specialists, neurologists, urologists. There's a great need in all areas of specialty care.
If there's a doctor listening, how often would they have to donate their time?
Well, the great part is they decide. You know, what we've learned over the years is whatever we can get, we appreciate. And we appreciate all of the hospitals that participate, all of the doctors that participate. If somebody says, I'll do two cataracts a year, that's two cataracts operations that we didn't have before. So I think the physician needs to feel in control, and they are, and we honor their pledge. Additionally, a physician gets sovereign immunity from the state of Florida. We're the only state that actually provides that benefit, which is really a form of liability protection. It means that if you're sued, that the state takes that over, and it's low risk to the physician who participates.
That gives them some relief, sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So hopefully some doctors will be giving you a call that might not have known about you before just now.
That would be great.
It's WeCare Jacksonville, WeCareJacksonville.org. Give them a call. Go on the website at WeCareJacksonville.org or call in your pledge of support. That's what we usually say here at 89.9.
But your
number is?
674-6450.
674-6450. So call in what you can afford and help spread some free health care to people that really cannot afford it any other way. They do it through We Care Jacksonville. She is Dr. Sue Nussbaum, the Executive Director of We Care Jacksonville. Again, that's WeCareJacksonville.org to learn more. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And coming up, lots to do all around town this weekend, including a little holiday magic on Jekyll Island.
Today, we can get just about anything in the grocery store, even in the coldest and most remote places in the U.S.
Do you carry strawberries?
We do carry strawberries.
Even when it's -57?
Yes, ma'am.
But what's the price workers pay for the convenience of year-round strawberries? On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
This is Michael Feldman. You know what makes a great holiday gift? Me. Or if you can't give me, how's about tickets to see me live? WJCT and the Flora Theater are proud to bring Michael Feldman's What Do You Know Live to Jacksonville on February 20th. Do the quiz, have some great guests and music, and possibly defect from Wisconsin once and for all. Tickets now at the Florida Theater box office by phone at 904-355-2787 or online at floridatheater.com. Hope to see you there.
The attack on the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Colorado Springs is an example of the dangers faced at clinics providing abortions. The threats and violence follow many abortion providers into their homes. On the next Fresh Air, David Cohen and Kristen Conan talk about their book, Living in the Crosshairs, The Untold Stories of Anti-Abortion Terrorism. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
On the next Jazz Night in America,
I'm wishing
we're exploring the intersection of jazz and animation.
They knew that the visibility of people like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway would certainly make their films more desirable.
And the Ladybugs played music from the Disney catalog.
There's a lot of really rich music in the Disney repertoire.
That's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, the halls have been decked, the lights are hung, and a skating chalet has been built right on the ocean front. Yeah, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas on Jekyll Island. Nancy Kring-Rowan, events manager with the Jekyll Island Authority, is on the line now with details about all the holiday magic up there. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to talk to you. So a skating rink on the oceanfront, the only one of its kind on the Eastern Seaboard, is that right?
Exactly. We are so happy and proud to have that available for all of our guests to enjoy on Jekyll Island.
How on earth did you get that set up with this warm weather?
Well, you know, it's a synthetic polymer, so it's not real ice. But it is a fantastic surface that has an eco-friendly lubricant that helps our skaters glide across the surface. And we are oceanfront, so you can enjoy the fantastic view of the Atlantic Ocean while either you're skating or sitting in our non-skater spectator area. So we're quite happy to have this beautiful chalet and skating village. It's only $5 per person for 30 minutes of ice time, and you can bring your own skates or use our skates that we have for you.
Very nice. That's such a big attraction. Not only that, of course, you've fully lit and decorated the island's historic district. And what else is on tap?
Well, we have fantastic holiday decorations that are throughout our island. It's quite stunning this year with more than 200,000 holiday lights. Our crew actually stopped counting at 202,218, and they just went on from there. So we have lights galore this year to include 11 glorious wrapped trees, and there's 28,000 lights just on our Christmas tree in the historic district, which is stunning. So if you're taking a stroll in our historic district or our beach village or our Great Dunes Parks, you can enjoy beautiful decorations and lights throughout the island. And our residents are even getting into it this evening. There's having a decorating contest for all of their homes, which I'm honored to be one of the judges for. So wherever you go on Jekyll Island, you'll enjoy the Christmas spirit with our lights.
Very nice. Anything else families should be in mind of when they perhaps venture onto the island for the holidays?
Well, we have two fantastic events ongoing throughout the holiday season. It's the Holidays and History Program provided by the Jekyll Island Museum, which is special holiday tours of the cottages that are fully decorated in our landmark historic district. I don't know if you know this, but many of the holiday traditions that we enjoy today were actually started during the time of the Jekyll Island Club. So the club families initiated and spread many of the traditions, such as writing Christmas stories and carols and sharing images of Santa and making Christmas ornaments for their trees. So during these special tours that our guests can enjoy, they can be going into the cottages and hearing these stories about the gift-giving traditions and enjoying the entertainment. That's all through our Jekyll Island Museum, and the cost is $16 for adults, $7 for children, $15 to 7 years of age, and six and under are all free. But they do have a special Twilight Tour that on Saturdays at 4 o'clock that do need a reservation. So we ask our guests to please call the museum at 912-635-3046. But this Saturday, Santa is coming to Jekyll Island, to our beach village, for our Santa on the Green event that we're really excited about. And that'll be from 1 to 4. It's a free event. We're going to have Jamie, Renee, and the Walkers performing out their live music. The families can come and enjoy our beach Santa and get their photos taken with him. And then, of course, they can go dining and shopping and skating at our beach skating village, and then stay and enjoy all the wonderful lights and displays for the evening.
So much to do. It sounds wonderful. And it's going to be a nice, cool weekend, so a good weekend to feel get into the season. Nancy, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, and have a happy holiday season.
She's Nancy Kring-Rowan, events manager with the Jekyll Island Authority. Lots to do on the island for the holidays. We'll have more weekend events for you with The Spectator right after this.
When helicopter pilot Sergei Aninov left Russia, he hoped to set a world record. He ended up in the Arctic, stranded on an ice floe.
I was lying covered by the life raft, and suddenly I heard the loud breathing of a bear.
A polar bear. One man's tale of survival, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT, 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour from the new Star Wars film to Bowser. Lots to do across the First Coast this weekend. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, the maestro of merriment.
Maestra.
Maestress of merriment.
Just maestra. I've been corrected.
The maestra of merriment. Oh, that's right. That would be the feminine.
Apparently.
TheSpectator.com's Carrie Speckman.
Yay.
Here today. Maestra of merriment. Yes.
May I just say, on behalf of the entire city of Jacksonville and the beaches, we are so proud of you doing the Diane Rehm Show.
Thank you.
You were awesome.
Thank you.
Though, to be selfish, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. And thanks. And let me just say in response, thank you to everyone who tweeted, who Facebooked me, who emailed, who texted. It was incredible. It was so incredibly overwhelming. The amount of support everybody gave.
It was so cool to hear your
voice.
Oh,
my gosh.
It was. Even though I hear your voice all the time, but
I was in tears just from the amount of love and support, and it gave me so much confidence.
We love you, Melissa Ross.
It was amazing. So thank you, everyone.
We love you.
All right. Let's talk events.
Yeah, enough about you.
Enough about me. Let's talk about tonight at the Sunray Cinema. The newest Star Wars film
They're not showing the film tonight.
No, they're not.
They're celebrating their fourth anniversary. And they're having an outdoor festival, and I know I'm going to get a lot of grief from this, recreating
Tatooine,
I was going to say that wrong. Famous.
I was there to save you.
Famous cantina.
Yeah.
And
the green room of First Coast Connect is sort of like the bar at Star Wars on many, many days. Just saying that right out loud.
You don't have to bring or wear a costume. They're highly recommending it. And it's at Sunray behind it in the parking lot.
Okay, that sounds fun.
So it's actually on Margaret Street.
Okay. That's tonight at Sunray. Also tonight at the Florida Theater, it's Bowser, from Sha Na Na.
Do you remember that show?
Of course. The Sha Na Na show? Of course I do. And you know, he was in the movie Grease. They performed in the movie Grease.
And they did a bubble, bubble. Yeah. That was his part.
Yeah.
Did you know he graduated from the Juilliard School?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Really? It wouldn't?
Well, so they're going to be doing kind of...
No, he.
Just him, not the whole band.
No.
But they will be doing kind of 50s style hits.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Including Jay Siegel. Jay Siegel's Token's known for The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which of course we all know that song.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So that's tonight at the Florida Theater.
That is correct.
Also tonight, local favorites, Grandpa's Cough Medicine at Jackrabbits.
With, and I say this with much sadness, but Jackson Vegas will be playing and it's their last show.
Oh, are they breaking up?
Boo.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
So get out and cheer them on.
I'm sad.
Tonight at Jackrabbits, that'll be a good show. Friday at the Florida Theater, it's the Kids Bop Kids. My daughters liked that.
I was going to say,
when they were little.
I figure you can speak to that more than I can.
Very familiar with the Kids Bop.
Ashlyn, Bredia, Grant, and Matt, you mean?
Those are the four? Okay.
Yeah,
that's Friday at the Florida Theater. And then Saturday at Hemming Park, Jack's Truckies.
Truckies
busting out.
Back.
Busting out with a food truck rally and Kids Winterfest.
Big
How about that?
Holiday season, face painting, balloon art, vendors, interactive. And then they're having beer and bingo, which I think sounds really fun. They're doing it every hour, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I don't know if you win beer or, well, I guess you drink beer.
I think you play bingo, drink beer, and mix it all up and everybody.
And then think you got a bingo and you yell bingo.
You yell bingo whether or not you got it.
And they're like, you've had too much to drink.
And there is much rejoicing.
Yes, exactly. And Santa Claus will be there
at
1:30.
All right. That's Saturday, Hemming Park, noon to 5.
Yes.
It's a food truck rally. So get out and have fun downtown. Also Saturday at the arena, the Giants play the South Florida Gold, so the
Correct.
Sports complex, very active this Saturday.
Yes.
And then Sunday, Yamo be there. It's Michael McDonald at the Thrasher Horn Center. That makes me think of a certain movie. That makes me think of a certain movie. I just can't help myself.
Was it Yamo? What movie was it?
You know, the movie with Steve Carell and, you know, I won't say the title of the movie.
Why won't you say it?
I guess I could say the title of the movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, why could that? Yeah.
Remember the scene where they're all working at Smart Tech and they keep playing that clip over and over and over and over till it drives them all insane?
Kind of like when I worked at the Sharper Image.
Yes.
And I had to listen to Mannheim Steamroller.
Yes.
For my whole life.
Well, he is playing at the Thrasher Horn Center Sunday, and it will be holiday hits.
Which holiday songs and some of his hits.
You know, he really does have an incredible voice.
He really does.
And that will be an excellent show. He's a five-time Grammy Award-winning artist, actually. Michael McDonald, Sunday.
That's a lot of Grammys.
That is. And Sunday at Cork, it is a volunteer showcase and silent auction event for Girls Rock Camp Jacksonville.
Yes. And I don't know if you know about Girls Rock Jacksonville, but it is a program to cultivate self-empowerment and positive identity development in girls, trans, and gendered nonconforming youth through music experimentation, DIY, media, and peer collaboration. But it's very cool. They spend time learning how to play instruments, or they improve their skills, and they put on a concert. And they will be doing that at Cork on Sunday.
Sunday at Everbank Field, 1 o'clock, it's the Jaguars against Atlanta. And then...
I have a little fun fact.
Oh, what's that?
On that. They're playing the Falcons.
Yeah.
And since 2012, their roster, 72% of their roster is gone.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I really didn't get into the details.
You're not a big football expert.
I just read the facts and I thought, I don't really know much, but that sounds like a lot of people to not be there. It's only 3 years.
Yeah, that's a big turnover. Yeah. Sunday at Jackrabbits, it's a Flagship Romance.
Ew, I love.
Another local favorite band.
Yes.
And and a First Coast News anchor, Shannon Ogden?
Yes.
What's that all about? He's performing?
Yes.
He sings?
That was very high, yes.
Have you not heard him?
Well, I guess you didn't if you didn't even know he sang. No, he sangs. He sang.
He sang.
Sings, and he has a guitar.
Very
He's
nice.
He's really, really good.
Wow. Congrats to him.
And he does a really excellent version of Purple Rain.
Really?
He does. It's awesome.
Get out. Shannon Ogden at Jackrabbits on Sunday. So
I know.
That is quite the list. There is no shortage of fun things to do
no,
this weekend.
No, not at all.
Get out and enjoy. It's going to be a chilly kind of holiday feeling weekend.
I hope so. It was so hot yesterday.
Go to thespectator.com.
And also read about the 10 sexiest men in Jacksonville.
Oh, I saw that. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that our own Sean Birch did not make the cut.
Well, if there were
and that is
best...
very, very, very much noted negatively.
Well, if there were best
within
hair,
our ranks.
If there were a best hair competition.
Well, you would have won that hands down.
I mean,
but for some reason, you did not see fit to
it wasn't
put Sean
me.
Birch
it
on
wasn't
the list.
Me. People nominated, and then there were voting. It was I had a panel. I had nothing to do with the nominees
oh,
or
yeah.
picking.
Panel schmanel.
I was a panel.
Actually, I was on
I
the panel.
I was going to say,
so
yeah.
I know
so
that's
even
true.
Though it's supposed to be anonymous, way to go. So actually, it's more your fault than mine.
TheSpectator.com for the list of the sexiest men in Jacksonville and a lot of other fun stuff. And that's our program. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. Next on Diane Rehm, the two largest school systems in the U.S. received terror threats this week, leading Los Angeles to keep nearly 700,000 students home. Diane and guests discuss assessing threats against our schools and how to keep children safe without disrupting learning. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow with our final show of the year, a look at the top local stories of 2015. That's tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.